Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Lynn Morella is here, ladies and gentlemen. He's our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is the founder and the president of the Center for Leadership and Ethics. He's the author of one of my favorite books in the whole world, In Search of Ethics. Lynn, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Always glad to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Lynn, Martha Stewart is out of jail now. Her being out of jail and reflecting back on what got her into her trouble made me think of you. It made me think of wanting to talk about ethical situations and the kind of things that we find ourselves in, we may find ourselves in, we actually do, I think, in business. And I wanted to just establish see if you could explain to us your thoughts on something that I've heard you say called moral relativism, but Daniel Patrick Moynihan, probably 30 years ago, called it defining deviancy down. Now, what do you think he meant by that?
Well, another way of saying that, Jim, is legal is obedience to the law, and ethics is obedience to the unenforceable.
Right. And by the way, I quote you all the time. I gave a speech last Tuesday, and I quoted you and gave you full attribution.
Well, I appreciate that.
And people really it opens their eyes when I say that to them. That's a very good way to say it.
Well, for an example, if you run to the supermarket and there's a little old woman there getting the last cart, and you run and knock her over and take the cart, you haven't broken any laws, but that certainly isn't an unethical act.
Right, right.
And those are the things we're talking about with regard to Martha Stewart and to others in our society who tend to stretch the law to the limit, and sometimes don't do things that are illegal, but they do things that are certainly unethical.
Well,
and that's the whole nation of deviancy down, of desensitizing us. You know, sometimes you have to ask the question, are these acts the problems of people or do they define us as a nation? The things that we accept nowadays that we'd be ashamed about 30 years ago.
Couldn't we say, though, that defining deviancy down isn't it reasonable to think that it is a human condition that's been going on for thousands of years?
You're probably right.
I mean, think about it. When you and I were kids, people didn't say pregnant on television. They didn't even say PG. They didn't show a pregnant woman, waist down. Husbands and wives, clearly married on television, slept in twin beds. I mean, we've come a long way since then. And some people would say, to some degree, for the better. Maybe we're more honest. But in some ways, maybe not.
Well, that's the whole notion of moral relativism. What it does, it gives us people an opportunity to rationalize our behavior. You know, it's like the Ten Commandments: "Thou shalt not." But the way the relativists look at it is, "Thou shalt not do it on Tuesday and Thursday, or in days when I don't want to do it." You know,
right?
As opposed to the absolute. There's an absence of absolutes. There's an absence of shame, and there is a deviancy down.
Well, let's talk about thought leaders, role models, people who hold themselves out as being on the top of their field. For example, Martha Stewart holds herself out. She became a billionaire, basically holding herself out as a leader in terms of as terms of lifestyle, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
All right. Bill Clinton held himself out as the president of the United States. Al Gore, and I'm not picking on those two guys, except folks, to point out a couple of things that both of them said that really kind of amplify what we're talking about. And when Al Gore got into his trouble with a Buddhist monastery out in, I've forgotten which one it was, out in California. Maybe you remember better than I, Lynn. And he said when he took some money that was maybe questionable in campaign money, he said, well, there was no controlling legal entity. Was that a way of saying moral relativism?
Absolutely. What he was saying is, I didn't break the law. I may have violated some ethical principles, but I didn't break the law.
And he basically stood behind that. And then, of course, Mr. Clinton's famous, that depends on what the definition of is. That was the classic defining deviancy down, as far as I'm concerned.
Those are perfect examples of moral relativism.
Yeah.
Perfect
well,
examples.
When people like that hold themselves out.
There's some Republicans that we could name.
Plenty of them. And again, I don't mean to pick on those guys. Those were just classic ones that they said in little nuggets that we can remember. But the thing is, when someone is in a position of leadership, is in a position of being a thought leader, of being a role model, isn't there some extra responsibility to try to behave more ethically because people are watching you?
If you want to take my definition that ethics is obedience to the unenforceable, that you transcend right into the notion of being a pure role model. And lots of people who are celebrities will tell you that I'm not a role model. I don't want to be a role model, but nevertheless, they are. And we have to learn to make the distinction between true heroes, true moral exemplars, and celebrities.
Well, one thing we need to remember is Martha Stewart. Lied to the government twice, and she was convicted of that and sent to jail. Now, she's paid her dues, and I believe in redemption, Lynn. I believe in redemption. I believe she has the ability, she should have the ability to redeem herself, and I think that's going to happen. But I do think that there was some that ethical justice was served when she went to jail. What do you think?
Well, In our society, people are presumed innocent until proven guilty, and I like to think that when they're proven guilty, they need to stand up for take the rap and do what's right. And in many ways, she did, but how she's coming out of this with the glorification of her of her book and
that's
her,
the part
her
that bothers me
and her radio or her TV show I'm not so sure she's exercising the proper remorse or the proper humility.
We haven't seen a lot of contrition out of her, have we?
No, just to the contrary, and she's a very proud woman. She's a very ambitious woman, and in many ways, she defines ambition or her life defines ambition in a way that's not in the best in the best definition.
Lynn, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're visiting with our good friend Lynn Morello, the author of In Search of Ethics. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Lynn Morello. He's the author of In Search of Ethics. Lynn, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
Well, the book's available in most bookstores, but if you want to get it directly, I would go online to focusonethics.com. Focusonethics.com.
Now, if we order it from focusonethics.com, can we get an autographed copy?
We can probably arrange that.
All right. So tell it when you order it from the website there, folks. Tell Lynn you want him to autograph it for you.
Or there's a toll-free number.
Okay.
That's 866-602-1476.
All
866-602-1476.
Right. Thanks, you, Lynn. Lynn, Martha was charged, convicted. She served her time. She's going to spend home confinement for a while with a little bracelet, ignominious bracelet around her ankle so that her parole officer knows where she is. She actually has a parole officer. But so she's done her time. She's paid her dues. But the question is not so much what she's done, because, as I said, I believe in redemption. But the question is, how do we react to all this? And some people, in my opinion, are reacting badly, and I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, let's be fair. She was convicted, she paid her dues, she went to prison, she served her time, and accordingly, she ought to be treated accordingly. I don't think she should be idolized. That's my concern. Is it defines us more than it defines her? She's done the right thing. probably forced into a little bit, but nevertheless, she did the right thing, and I don't think we should rub her nose in it. On the other hand, I don't think we should idolize what, you know, what she's done.
What does it say about our society that she comes out of jail and go and walks right onto a set where she does a reality show?
Well, look around you, Jim. Everywhere you go, the people that are convicted of crimes and have convicted of wrongdoing, who've done unethical acts, all of a sudden come out and write a book, have a TV show, and people are rushing to patronize them. That's what concerns me. It defines us as much as it defines them, and that's all about defining deviancy down. We've been desensitized. I saw a movie on Turner Classic Movies the other night of 30 years ago where you can see the moral principles of our society intact. I can hardly find a movie today where I can say that. What I can say that about?
What should as small business owners? What should we do about all this?
Well, I think that every one of us has a chance to be an exemplar, a role model. When you get down to brass tacks, Jim, it's all about the basic values that we live by, the basic values that made this country strong, the values of truth and honesty, the values of respect, the values of responsibility, the values of justice and fairness, and the values of compassion. You know, if we live by those values as our founding fathers wanted us to, what a great society this would be. My concern is that, you know, all the great civilizations of history, most of them have fallen apart from within. Mm-hmm. And not from without. They haven't been conquered. They just kind of crumble from within. And if we're not careful, that could happen to us.
Well, it seems to me that those of us who are leaders in the marketplace have a responsibility to say to our employees and to the people who we do business with, you know, if we have an opportunity to be to where there's a gray area. And as you know, Lynn, I say that the color of ethics is gray. It's not black and white. Black and white is easy to decide. But in the marketplace, there's a lot of gray area. You know, am I obligated to tell a customer that there's a brand new product coming out in 30 days if they're telling me that they want this one right now, even though I know that they're going to use this product for a long time? That's a gray area. And
but how would you react if you're on the receiving end of a statement that says, "Look, I have this product now, but I have a better one coming out in 10 days"? Would that not
of
make
course.
You more loyal to the corporation?
Of course,
ethics is good business.
I agree with you. Say that again. I think that's an important thing for us to remember.
Well, good ethics is good business.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. Think about the things that you want as a consumer. You want to be treated fairly. You want a fair price. You want a good product. And you want the truth. And, you know, we all want the truth. People go to unbelievable lengths, have an unbelievable respect for a leader of character. It's amazing that people are irresistibly attracted to a leader of character. I saw this when I was in the military. I saw this when I was working for a major corporation. Mm-hmm. I saw that as I have my own small company now. People are irresistibly attracted to leaders of character. They just are like a magnet. And yet, you know, how dumb can we be? For 2,000 years, people have been telling us about the importance of character and the importance of ethics, the importance of treating people fairly, and yet we continue to do stupid things.
Not only employees, but also customers, right?
Absolutely.
They're attracted to people.
All the stakeholders need to be treated fairly.
But customers are attracted to people of character as well.
And business of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's going to be the? I've got 30 seconds, Lynn. What's going to be? What do you think things are? How do you think Martha's going to look a year from now, 6 months from now?
Well, she's got to come out of this okay because of all the forces behind her, and I think we ought to let her do her thing. But I think we have to be careful not to idolize her and not to make her a deity. She's a human being. She's a very ambitious person. This nation allows ambitious people to get ahead, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But we should make her a role model. I don't think that I would want my daughters to emulate her.
We need to come up with some new definitions, some old definitions, maybe I should say, for who our heroes are, shouldn't we, Lynn?
We need to be obedient to the unenforceable.
Yeah.
We need to be obedient to our values.
Thank you, Lynn, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
It's always a pleasure, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Quick break, right back with Grace Marie Turner. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.